Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When you keep His commandments, when you walk in love, when you surrender your life to Him, then you continue with the Lord and you abide with Him. But there is a real picture there of actually living with Him, not just abiding in Him that you continue in your faith, but that you actually have a relationship with God, that you are interacting with Him on a daily basis. You're actually walking with Him.
Abiding is a really important and special word, especially if you are a new believer. To abide with God simply means we hang out with Him, spend time with Him. But listen to this, He also abides with us. That is the person of the Holy Spirit. We are excited to share so much more about the gift of the Holy Spirit, who He is, and what He does for and in us. We're in 1 John 3 and 4. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we do want to thank You again for the opportunity that we have to be able to gather together here for You. We pray Your Holy Spirit would fall upon us now. Lord, You've said that as each one of us receives gifts, let's minister those gifts to one another. And Lord, we pray that that would be the case tonight, that through the study of Your word, we could be challenged and encouraged, especially in the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we thank You for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The title of our message today is The Gift of the Holy Spirit. Not the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the gift of the Holy Spirit Himself. There's a lot said about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and a lot of controversy as to whether or not the sign gifts are for today. Most people believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today, but whether or not the sign gifts are for today. But when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I think that those things are not as important as some other aspects. It's not that they're not important, but there are some other things as we focus in on that we see a great work of the Holy Spirit within our lives. And we want to see today that Jesus promised that we would be given the Holy Spirit. Now, there's no question, if you've been studying the book of 1 John with us, what the book of 1 John is all about, right? It's about genuine, real Christianity. And how to know that you have made that commitment to the Lord that is a real commitment. And what are the marks in your life that show that you have made that kind of commitment to Him? And here, as he gets into verse 24 of chapter 3, he introduces the same thing. In fact, let's read that verse. We'll come back and we'll read it all later on. But I want us to start off by just reading verse 24. It says, "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us." That everyone who abides in the Lord has been given the Spirit by Christ. Now, you remember Jesus said, which one of you, if your child asks you for a rock, will you give him a scorpion? Which one of you, Which one of you, wow, did he really say that? If he asked for a rock, you give him a scorpion? Which one of you, if your child asks you for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? I'll never live that one down. That's why I'm chuckling. I'm just thinking of all the people that are going to razz me about that for how long. If your child asks you for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Or if he asks you for a loaf of bread, that you would give him a rock. And then he says, how much more, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So it is simply a point of asking for the Holy Spirit in our lives. In John 7:38, Jesus said, "Come unto me and drink, and out of you will flow rivers of living water." Then it goes on to say in the next verse that this he said, speaking of the Holy Spirit, that he had not yet given. That if we would come to him and drink, that out of us would gush those torrents of living water. In John 14:16, he said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Thus, again, it says he spoke of the Holy Spirit that would be given. In Acts 1:8, he said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." That we were promised that the Lord would give us power to be able to do the work that he has called us to do. 1 Peter chapter 4, it says that you and I have each been given a gift, at least one gift by him, and we are to minister that gift to one another. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7, we're told that the manifestation of the Spirit in our lives is the gifts that he gives us. And as I said earlier, a lot of focus is often placed upon the gifts that you and I have received. Tonight, as we look at this passage, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And again, that is such a broad topic. We could spend weeks and weeks and have in the past talking about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, but we want to focus in on what these verses tell us about the Spirit of God in our lives. So we pick it up then in verse 24. And let's read all the way through these, and then we'll come back and pick them apart a little bit. Verse 24 of 1 John chapter 3. Now, he who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have learned was coming and now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. What a great promise that we have there. But we start back in verse 24, where it tells us that we keep his commandments. And we saw that that's one of the marks of a true Christian, isn't it? Not that you don't make mistakes or sometimes don't keep his commandments, but that there is a real heart and desire inside of a genuine Christian to be obedient to God and to follow his commands. A person who says, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to do the things God says. Well, you have no confidence that you're a Christian. And it just doesn't make sense, does it? When you are a Christian and you've been touched by God and drawn to him, then you want to do the things that he's told you to do. Well, we were told in verse 23 what those things were, twofold. Look at that verse in chapter 3. And this is his commandment. We're told before that we keep his commandments, or chapter 24, we keep his commandments. But here's the commandment, that you should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. The commandments that God has given us to be saved is to believe on his name, surrender, commit yourself to him. And then we live by loving one another. Love is that dominant aspect of our lives. Then verse 24 again, now he who keeps his commandment, believes in his name, and then loves one another, he abides in him. And he abides in him. Now that sounds really redundant until you can actually see it written down. So if you don't have a Bible opened up before you, you would say, are you reading that right? He abides in him and he abides in him. But you will look at the capital H, which makes a reference to Jesus. That is, that if you keep his commandments, we abide in Christ, and then Christ also abides in us. Now the word abiding, we looked at it a while ago, simply means to continue with. When you keep his commandments, when you walk in love, when you surrender your life to him, then you continue with the Lord and you abide with him. But there is a real picture there of actually living with him, not just abiding in him that you continue in your faith, but that you actually have a relationship with God, that you are interacting with him on a daily basis. You're actually walking with him. And then it says, and by this we know that he abides in us. How is it that we know that the Lord abides in us? By the Spirit that he has given us, by the Spirit that has been placed into our lives. Now, there are three ways in which the Holy Spirit works in the lives of people. Before you came to Christ, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit who will be in you was with you. If you're here today and you have never invited Jesus to come into your life, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is with you. He's there and he's making things clear. He's drawing you to Christ. The Bible says that no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws him. So the Holy Spirit is working within your life to draw you to Christ and reveal things to you. It's one of the reasons, folks, as we live our lives for Christ as a witness, that we have the Holy Spirit with us and we can be so effective in our witnessing. If it was just us by ourselves trying to share our faith, I don't know how effective we would be. But because we have the Holy Spirit that works with us. And sometimes You might not even share your faith. Have you ever had anybody get agitated at you? You know, tell you you preach a lot because, you know, from their perception, they see that you're trying to share Christ with them when you haven't even really started yet. I had that happen years ago where a guy said, I'm sick of you preaching at me. I said, I haven't even started yet. I haven't even begun. I'd planned on it, but I hadn't started yet. And I believe it's because the Holy Spirit actually works with us in the lives of those who don't believe. So he's with you if you don't know the Lord, and he's drawing you to Christ. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, when he comes, is going to speak of me. And so it speaks of Christ and draws us to him. Then when you get saved, the moment that you say, Lord, I want to invite you into my life, you are baptized into the family of God by the Holy Spirit. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that we have been baptized into the family of God by the Holy Spirit. And the word baptized simply means to be immersed. It's got a real religious connotation to us, but in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew especially, it just meant taking a bath. And so we would say you're bathed in the Lord by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work in us and draws us to Christ. No wonder it says there in 1 Corinthians 12 that no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. Not that you just can't mouth those words, but you actually can't say it and mean it without the Holy Spirit working in your life. And he draws us into the Lord. Now, here's where a little bit of controversy arises, and that is that there are those who believe that there's really no other work of the Holy Spirit after that. The Holy Spirit's with you before you come to Christ, and then he's in you when you come to Christ. And it is true that you get every bit of the Holy Spirit when you commit your life to Christ. But there is a third way that the Holy Spirit works, and that is upon you. That he comes upon you to empower you to do the work that he's called you to do. I am persuaded that none of us would be able to do anything of spiritual significance without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do things in the flesh. You can get up and go through the motions. But if the Holy Spirit isn't working and touching people's hearts and lives, then it doesn't mean anything. And so Jesus told his disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The interesting thing about that statement is he had already breathed on them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And then he told them to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And that is that they would be empowered to do the work that the Lord had called them to do. And then it's interesting, if you read the book of Acts, looking for the phrase upon in connection with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came upon them, or the Holy Spirit was upon them, or he got up to speak and the Holy Spirit came upon them. All of a sudden you see that that phrase jumps out all through the book of Acts in the early church, that when they would get up to do things for the Lord, the Holy Spirit came upon them. This is what some call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if it's the best term to use when speaking of the empowering of the Holy Spirit, but I believe it's correct. I believe the concept, and some call it the second experience of the Holy Spirit. I would call it a third experience of the Holy Spirit. I think the best way to describe it is just to say, I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life on every aspect. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to allow me to be able to comfort the people around me. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to use me to do the work that he wants to do in the lives of those who are around us. And each one of us are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And each one of us have gifts that we are supposed to give. Remember, the concept of the pastor doing the work of the ministry and people supporting that is really a wrong concept. You ever been in a church where the pastor will say, boy, we need your support. You guys need to dig deeper because we need your support to be able to do the things we're called to do. Well, that's a wrong view of ministry. Ministry is not about what God calls me to do and you guys supporting that. Ministry is me supporting you, is me being called to help strengthen you to equip the saints, it says in Ephesians, for the work of the ministry. That you guys are called to go out and be the salt and the light. Jesus didn't say, and the pastors will be the salt, and the pastors will be the light, and you all support them. Did he? He said, you are the salt, and you are the light. You are the ones that go out and shine, and you are the ones that go out and preserve as salt does. And that is why the Holy Spirit doesn't just need to be poured upon leadership as it was in the Old Testament. The Bible says that King Saul was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and that David was anointed with the Holy Spirit. It says of Samson, and the Holy Spirit would come upon him. And when Samson got up, remember after Delilah cut his hair? And it says, and he went out to fight the Philistines as before, but he did not know that the Holy Spirit had left him. The leaders in those days would have the Holy Spirit upon them. But then the Lord had told us in the book of Joel, the day will come when I will pour out my flesh on all men. That is, he wasn't just looking to use and work through leaders, but he was looking to work through the whole church as a whole, so that we would all have the Holy Spirit come upon us and empower us. Now, there have been a whole lot of abuses when it comes to the sign gifts of the Spirit. And remember, there's all kinds of gifts of the Spirit that aren't sign gifts. There's gifts of helps, there's gifts of administration, there's gifts of organization. There's all kinds of gifts that you can use. But then there's the gift of tongues, right? That's the one there's all the controversy about. There's, you know, the gift of prophecy, which someone would say, you know, the Lord gave me this word for you. And the Bible tells us not to despise prophecy. The Bible tells us that tongues is edifying to ourselves. And I do believe that all the gifts are for today. I don't believe there's ever a time where the gifts stop being used. But I also know that the Bible says everything is to be done decently and in order. And a lot of times, they're not done decently and in order. And so, when you talk to someone, have you ever prayed that you would be empowered by the Holy Spirit? They go, uh-uh. Do you want to pray that you would be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Because they've seen too many weird things, right? You watch TBN one too many times. And you looked at it and you said, if I get filled with the Spirit, then I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to order my hamburger at McDonald's and I'm going to talk in tongues. And they're not going to understand me and I'm going to be embarrassed. And I would rather just not even go there. I would rather just not ask God to empower me with the Holy Spirit. But if you do that, if you don't ask for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you're missing a whole part of what God wants to do in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And folks, there's something about it, and it's hard to describe, and it's hard to explain. You can go through the motions, and you can do it in your flesh. You can go through the motions of trying to do something for God, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's an evidence that's there. In 1 Corinthians 12, it called it a manifestation. There's an evidence that's there that you say, I know God's working. And for those of you that have prayed that you would be empowered, then you've stepped out and done something for God. There have been times that I'm teaching and I haven't prepared what I was beginning to say. And as I'm, you know, saying it, I'm thinking, I need to write this down. This is good stuff. Where'd this come from? And it's actually the work of the Spirit in touching hearts and lives of individuals. I believe, by the way, that the Holy Spirit also works behind the scenes apart from our feelings. Sometimes there is an emotional response to the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you. Sometimes you can feel it, and sometimes you can't. There have been times when things have just felt as dry as they could possibly be. And afterwards, people would come up and say, man, God really spoke to me. And I would think, well, gosh, I certainly didn't feel anything. But the Holy Spirit doesn't work through our feelings. The Holy Spirit works in the lives and the hearts of people who are around us and with us. And it is the concept of being anointed in the Old Testament. Remember when Samuel brought the oil to David and poured it on his head? Of the priest, it would say that they poured the oil on its head and the oil dripped off of the beard of Aaron. And it was a symbol of the priest being anointed by God to do the job of a priest. He's called to be a priest. The Holy Spirit would come upon him to empower him to do that job. Then of David, it says that Samuel poured the oil over his head. And we would take it that it ran down his face and off of his peach fuzz and onto the ground because he was like 13 years old. However, God empowered him not to be a priest, but to be a king. God gave him the power and the anointing to be king so that David could say, I have been anointed by God to be a king. The priest Aaron was able to say, I have been anointed by God to be a king. Now, a lot of times people make the anointing some really weird thing. And they make it a really weird thing, first of all, by the way they say the word anointing. Rather than just saying anointing, as you and I do here tonight, they'll say, and then God gave me the anointing. And you think, well, there must be something to the anointing. Because, I never say it that way. But God's not just looking to anoint pastors and evangelists and teachers, but God's looking to anoint you for the work that He's called you to do, to shine as lights in the midst of a dark world, that you could be an anointed Sunday school teacher, or that you could be an anointed usher, or that you could be an anointed evangelist for the Lord, or that you might be anointed in comforting someone who needs to be comforted. See, the Lord knows what's going on around you in the lives of the people around you, and He's looking to anoint you to be able to reach out and touch their lives and their hearts. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us, first of all, in salvation, that my body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. But secondly, that I might be able to reach out and be anointed in whatever God has called me to do. That I might truly be able to say, this is the power of God in my life, reaching out and touching hearts and touching lives. And so Jesus promised that we would have the Holy Spirit. And here we're told that this is an evidence to us as we see the Holy Spirit working within our lives. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to say, Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. You guys got it memorized? The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians tells us, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If the fruit of the Spirit, that is, you have the Spirit in your life, these are the fruits that come out of your life. If the last fruit mentioned there is self-control, then the Holy Spirit is not going to come upon you and take you out of control. And every time someone has gotten out of control and says, that was the Holy Spirit that made me do that, I don't believe them. Because the Holy Spirit brings more control in your life. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians, do not be drunk with wine. Because when you're drunk with wine, what are you? You're out of control. You're as out of control as you can be when you're drunk. Take a couple of beers. And people will say, well, I can have a couple of beers and it doesn't affect me. I see people have a couple of beers. And it affects people. You have a couple of beers, it affects you. You get drunk with wine, you're out of control. And then it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And so some have taken that and said, well, what that means is we're supposed to be drunk in the Spirit. Where did it say that? And so you remember during the Toronto Blessing stuff of the 80s? Remember people would stumble around the stage and pretend that they were drunk? Then they would come to and say, oh, it must have been the Holy Spirit on me because I was acting drunk. It's not saying don't be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Spirit. Didn't say that. It said, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It's not a comparison of being filled with the Spirit is the same as being drunk. It's a contrast. Never are you in more control than when you are filled with the Spirit of God. Never are you more out of control than when you are drunk with wine. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be an individual that is out of control in your life, but be in control by the power of the Holy Spirit that is given to us to be able to lead us and guide us through the different courses of life. Now in verse 1 of chapter 4, this is the same thought. It just continues on. Beloved, it says, do not believe every spirit. Just because somebody says, I'm from God, God told me to do this, doesn't mean God told them to do it. Doesn't mean that they're from God. When someone will say to me, well, God told me to do it, I always like to tell them, well, that means I can't question it, doesn't it? Because if God told you to do it. And I've shared with you before, I don't think that's a good thing for us as Christians to say. Unless you can go to a word, you know, scripture and verse, right? And say, God told me right there. It says, God said it. But if God speaks something to your heart, it's better to say to people, I believe God told me. That leaves room for less arrogance in your life.
We hope that practical Christian living helps you to live God's word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of practical Christian living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, That's JULIAN Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.